Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are Locked On Jets, your daily podcast on the New York Jets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This is the Locked On Jets podcast. It is Tuesday, October 24th, 2017. Thank you for joining us today. I am John B. from GangreneNation.com. If you enjoy the show, please subscribe to it. iTunes and Spotify are your two best options, and please give it a good review. And while you're giving it a review, leave your Twitter handle to be entered into a drawing for a free Pro Football Focus subscription with all of their grades and stats. Well, we're still focusing on what was a dismal weekend for New York sports. Yankees lose the ALCS, Giants miserable performance against Seattle, but of course, we're talking about the Jets. This is the Locked On Jets podcast. Jets lose a just dreadful, dreadful game against the Miami Dolphins. And joining us once again, our friend Michael, writes under the name Gangrene and Yonkers on gangrenenation.com with me. Michael, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me back. And this is a tough one to cope with, but we're Jets fans. We deal with it. So let's get through it.
Let's get through it, indeed. And you know, before we went on the air, we were talking a little bit, and you've said it best. You said, I mean, the Jets dominated large portions of this game, and it's just kind of unfathomable that they lost it.
Yeah, that's just the nature of football. You could dominate so much of the game, but it's a sport where one bad play could have so much weight to undo everything else you've done. But there are way too many penalties they had wiping out good plays that they were making. And McCown's interception at the end, I'm sure you talked about it yesterday. We talked plenty about it on the site. It's as bad as you'll see. Just the situation, the down, and the chance of that play succeeding is... I mean, this is why McCown is who he is. He could put up the touchdown stats. He could put up the completion percentage numbers, but plays like that are why you win and lose games.
Yeah, the NFL got their all-22 coaches film up a little early this week. Usually you have to wait till Tuesday. They had it up Monday this week, and just before we went on the air, I watched the game-losing interception, and I mean, I don't know how he thinks he could possibly make that. There's no way he has the arm to make that throw. That's just too tight of a window. It made no sense. Three timeouts. You go to your second option. You check it down there. There's an open receiver underneath, and you live to fight another day. It's just, I mean, unbelievable that he made that throw.
Yeah, and I've seen some blame thrown at the coaching staff and Morton for putting him in position to do that, but I don't agree with that take. Just as a 38-year-old quarterback who's been in the league as long as he has, you just can't do that. But that is who he is. He's a veteran, but he doesn't play like that with his decision-making. He's made plays like that this season for the Jets and throughout his whole career. That's why he's bounced around so much. So I don't blame the coaching staff for trying to get something going, trying to win the game before it gets into overtime. That's just an inexcusable decision.
I will say this is that I think that was a situation that's tailor-made for a draw play on first down to see if he can catch them by surprise, because Miami had no linebackers in the box on the play. And, you know, typically it's a low risk play that, you know, maybe you pop 10, 15 yards with three timeouts, you know, run is on the table there. But that said, this guy's a 38-year-old quarterback. And what's the point of having a 38-year-old quarterback if you can't trust him to not make a throw that dumb?
Yeah, I think with McCown, they said this, they reported that he was going to be a quarterback coach for Cleveland, but he doesn't really bring the veteran aspect as much as you would think. He's good for the big play down the field. He can make some plays with his legs, but the field vision, the IQ, the decision-making is not what you would expect from a guy who's been in the league that long. I'm sure his leadership is great, but in terms of on the field, it's really similar with what we saw with Ryan Fitzpatrick, just not smart quarterback play.
That's exactly, I tell you, I watched some of these plays and I think that's Fitz. He thinks he has the arm that to make that throw and he doesn't. And there was even the play before that. There was a big third down earlier in the fourth quarter when the Jets clearly were not set. In fact, they took a penalty because they couldn't get the receiver set. You had guys who didn't know where to line up, play clock winding down. Call the timeout there. First of all, don't get into that situation, but once you're in that situation, call a timeout there. Make sure you get set for this play. Instead, what happens is the Jets take a penalty and they have two free runners coming at the quarterback because nobody's ready to snap the ball. And that's something that can't happen with a veteran quarterback. I mean, you put Petty out there. That's what you could get that with Petty. I mean, if you have a veteran quarterback in there, I expect you to be at least be able to manage the game, to understand situations there. And a big third down play like that, you have to call a timeout. You can't just snap the ball and have two guys run at you and take a sack. And even if somehow the play works, you get a penalty because your receivers didn't have time to get sacked. What a mess.
Yeah, I don't think it's time to start thinking about benching him yet. I mean, the team's 3-4. They're still, you know, technically in the mix, but if they fall a couple more losses in a row, I think it might be time to start thinking about the change. But for now, I think they're still going to stick with him, stick with the results. But we're definitely seeing what you would have to expect when you sign Josh McCown.
And I was for starting Petty. If McCown's my option, I was never for the signing. I will say this. I thought McCown did have a solid game. Look, he accounted for four touchdowns. So if we're talking in the grand schemes, that's fine. It's just the same situational issues where he just doesn't understand the game situation. It just drives you crazy because, again, this is the whole point of having the veteran quarterback.
Yeah, and like we said, that's just how football works. Every play is not created equal. That he could have his touchdowns, but an interception in that situation just really undoes everything that you did. So that's why McCown has been on eight teams. That's why he's who he is, why he only had, what, three wins over the past three seasons. But I think the leash is, it's time to start thinking about taking him out, but I don't think that time's going to come soon.
And we're talking about interceptions. I mean, there are interceptions, and there are interceptions. And that was just, I mean, my goodness, that's just one of the, I think in any situation, that's one of the worst interceptions you'll ever see. But especially tie game, last minute regulation. I mean, why don't we just move on? Because I could probably go on all day on just what a miserable, miserable throw that was. Unfortunately, we'll go to another negative topic, which was play a Buster Screen. And I think, Michael, you and I discussed the last 2 weeks. I thought Screen played well against Cleveland. I thought he played well against New England. But we know that this is a guy who's been in the league a long time, been an inconsistent player, been a mediocre player. You knew that his number would be up eventually, although I was not expecting it to happen in such a profound, big way.
Yeah, for Screen, it's odd that this game came when it did because he was playing better the past few weeks. But what you saw today is what he's been most of the time since they signed him. It was, to me, it was incredible the way, I thought Buster Screen is the sole reason that the Jets blew this. The Dolphins attacked him again and again and again, and he had no answer. He was responsible for, I'm pretty sure, all three of their touchdowns after the first drive. And it started from the beginning of the game. There was that jump ball with Kenny Stills that set up the first touchdown, and Green was there, but just lost at the point of attack, and that was kind of a sign of what was to come. And this was as bad of a performance as you'll see from a non-quarterback in this league.
Yeah, I mean, for me, we talk about his last two games, and I do think he strung two good games together. But if you're a starting player in the league, I feel like almost every starting player in this league has the talent to put together a good game, maybe even two in a row. The thing is, not everybody has the ability. What separates the good players from the bad players is the good players can play well for a full season, whereas the bad players usually can put one or two games together, then they fall off. And I mean, I was expecting this, but I certainly was expecting Screen to fall back to earth because, I mean, that's what he's done his whole career. Even when he plays well, he doesn't sustain it.
Yeah, I think maybe that if there's anything I would question the coaches on this game is not giving Screen more help. I'm not sure you could bench him because the Jets did cut Marcus Williams a few weeks ago. They don't have that much depth at cornerback, but at least give him some extra help and take the risk that someone else will beat you because Screen had absolutely no answer for what the Dolphins were throwing at him, no matter who it was, where they were on the field, and this is the main reason that they blew this lead.
I mean, I guess for me, it's, man, you got to be able to cover Kenny Stills. I mean, look, that's a guy you have to be able to take one-on-one. It's not, you know, and that Screen got beaten by Stills a couple times.
Yeah, you're right. It's just, he's one of the highest-paid players on the team. He's a starter that's, you just, that's a job you have to do. And he was, like we said, Screen was playing better the past few weeks. This was just a terrible performance by him, and it was tough to watch.
You know, Monday morning, I took a look at the Jets' cap situation, and I think that the top five players that they have in terms of cap hits are Muhammad Wilkerson. I think Screen is number two. Then you have the two guards, Carpenter and Winters, and then Josh McCown, number five. And, you know, it reminds me of the movie Major League. I don't know if you saw that, Michael, the movie about the Cleveland Indians, and there's one scene when third baseman Roger Dorn shows up for spring training, and the manager goes to the general manager, "You told me we didn't have any high-priced talent." And the general manager says, "Dorn's just high-priced." And that's what I feel like when I look at this list of cap hits for the Jets, where it's like that their high-paid players aren't high-priced talent. They're just high-priced.
Yeah, you're right. Those five guys that you just mentioned, the only one that I'd say is a consistent, good contributor is James Carpenter. And he's good, but he's not great. I think Wilkerson, though, I'll talk about him. He had his best performance of the season. He looked like the Muhammad Wilkerson that earned that contract. He was making things happen. And as a pass rusher, he was stopping the run. He was aware on that interception created by Jamal Adams. And we've got on him for not hustling a lot this season, but he was hustling down the field on some big runs. And there was one play he stopped a potential third down conversion. So really, and this was, Wilkerson was a question to play in this game. And I definitely thought that would be smart to sit him out and just let him kind of heal a little bit. But this was, same way Screen's really poor performance was out of nowhere after his two good games, Wilkerson kind of surprised me with how well he played in this game.
Yeah, me too. And I think you took the words right out of my mouth. The one play I was going to mention was the third down play when he hustled himself down the field and made the tackle, because that play is what you're looking. You'd like to see that kind of effort out of Wilkerson. I know a lot of people have questioned his effort, and I don't like questioning a player's effort because I don't know what's going on with them. But that was the type of play that made me happy. You know, it made me feel good about Wilkerson, that the fact that he's showing that kind of hustle on a third down play.
Yeah, I mean, it was plays like that, the kind of the attention he drew, the havoc he created, and that kind of hustle that made him the big money player that the Jets signed. And to see him come back is really encouraging. I'm not sure what his problem has been, whether it's in motivation, maybe injury. I don't know what it is, but this is exactly who Muhammad Wilkerson was. So we'll see if he can keep it up. But like you said, based on his contract, that's kind of the expectation. So it was good to see him come back.
And honestly, I think people, even when Wilkerson was good, people did not appreciate what a disruptive force he was on that defensive line. And I think, you know, a couple of years removed, it's very easy to forget what a dominant play, what a nightmare he was for opposing offenses.
Yeah, I think what you saw last week, or against Miami this week, is Leonard Williams, you saw him pop out so much more too, with Wilkerson struggling as much as he has, teams could pay more attention to Williams and kind of focus on taking him out of the game. But you saw this Sunday, both of them were in there shutting down Jay Ajayi. And I'm pretty sure the Jets had 12 quarterback hits in this game. And Wilkerson and Williams were a huge reason that happened. They were just dominating the line of scrimmage today. And the Miami offensive line also had at least a couple penalties that were pretty huge drive killers. So what you saw today is exactly what the Jets have been getting the past few years out of the defensive line and thought they would be getting again. But, of course, it just happens to come on the day when their secondary, specifically Buster Screen, had one of the worst games you'll see.
Yeah, I think Screen's the guy because I thought both safeties had a good game. I thought Jamal Adams had a nice bounce back game, made a number of plays. Marcus May, the interception. I mean, I don't think the problem was the secondary. I think the problem was Screen.
Right, right. Yeah, I think Adams bounced back a lot. You're still seeing him kind of. The Dolphins attacked him with Julius Thomas in this game, and Adams definitely made a few good plays. There was that one play in the red zone on the Dolphins' last touchdown where he stuffed him, and it would have brought up a big third down, but of course Buster Screen wiped that out, the penalty. That's kind of a scene here if you're getting that Buster Screen messing things up. But yeah, it was definitely a bounce-back performance from Adams after he's kind of exposed the last few weeks. But there was, on the first Miami play of the game, he bit hard on the play action to let Thomas get open, so his coverage could get more consistent, but you're still seeing the playmaking that he's capable of in the run game and as a blitzer.
I think this is one of the things that's so frustrating about the Jets is that, I mean, I think there were a lot more good performances on this team than bad, and you go to the offensive side of the ball, I thought the two backs, Powell and Forte, both had good games.
Yeah, I don't know what Matt Forte that was who showed up this Sunday. That looked like a young Matt Forte. That 3rd and 19 screen pass that he took for the first down, that was all him making over half the Dolphins' defense miss on his way to that first down. So that was really good to see from him. And Bilal Powell, too, coming right back from injury and making plays both in the screen game and in the run game. I thought the offensive line and the backs came together to have maybe their strongest game of the season outside of the Jacksonville game.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I think Forte, the speed's gone, the athleticism's gone, but I mean, he's still smart, he's still crafty, he still knows how to read a block when he has a little room to operate.
Yeah, there's definitely still a lot of ways he can be effective. I think another part of his game that's underrated is his blocking. I thought he had a few good blitz pickups in this game, and talking more about blocking, I want to talk about Eric Tomlinson. We brought him up a few times on the podcast, but I look at the big runs the Jets are having, and on a lot of them, Eric Tomlinson is a pretty big part of that. I think he's might be the most consistent blocker on the offense. And one of the things I like about the way John Morton has used him is because other teams expect him to block most of the time, they've been able to open him up for some big plays because you just don't expect him to be a factor with the ball. And I looked into this earlier. He's got 3 passing plays of 25 yards or more, and that's tied for 2nd among all tight ends in the league. So credit to John Morin for getting that done.
And I think he's been uncovered on 2 of them. I think 2 of them, the defense didn't even cover him.
Right, it's just definitely a good, yeah.
Credit to play design, you know? Credit to play design. Anybody else you thought stood out in a good way, Michael?
I think Kelvin Beachum might have had his best game with the Jets. I know a lot of people have been praising him. I haven't been too high on him. I think he's been a little inconsistent, but he was definitely pretty good yesterday. I thought he was really clean in pass protection and opened up a lot of holes there on the left side.
Yeah, I think to this point he's done a good job in pass protection. I think his run blocking had been spotty, but I tend to agree based on what I've seen so far is that very solid game for Beachum.
Yeah, I think that James Carpenter, too, also had a pretty strong game over there. He's probably, like we said before, he's probably the best player in this line. I think that was true again yesterday. But you mentioned this in the game recap. I think Wesley Johnson was handled again. I think the whole right side, him and Winters and Brent Qualley, you filled in for Brandon Shell. I think it was a rough game for all three of them. But the Jets did try to get the ball going on the left side where they were blocking well, and I think that's a big part of why they did have a pretty efficient running game.
All right. Well, Michael, thanks for joining us. Any final thoughts?
Let's just get to 4-4.
Yeah. Well said. Thank you again for joining us, Michael. And thank you for listening. This is the Locked On Jets podcast. You can subscribe to the show, iTunes and Spotify, and please give the show a good rating. Hope you enjoy your Tuesday. We'll be back again Wednesday to talk some more. Napa
know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out.
Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.